management. We invite people who knows better when it comes to business and comes to money. Bega, at this stage, you remember last year, South African businesses were spared from Eskom's proposed 32% tariff hike, which will have come into effect in Lunyaga 2023 on the 1st of April. Energy regulator, which is known as NERSA, has received widespread criticism for granting Eskom a more than 18% electricity hike for 2023-2024 financial year, which is going to be effective on the 1st of April. The hike that is coming will add, obviously, operational cost for small businesses. So it has got a lot of impact. Some of the businesses end up closing down, even retrenching employees as a cost-containing measure. That's why we speak to Roger Hislop to look at the financial impacts of load shedding today and how businesses could save by using some managed smart metering. He is the Energy Management System Executive at CBI Energy. Good evening and welcome, Roger. Hello, Roger. All right, bear in mind that we are struggling with your load shedding and people are battling to get through to us because network IB, right? We're going to try again to just see to get hold of you. Maybe you might be going through also similar in terms of your business and your operational cost. You've seen them soaring because of Ugesi and load shedding. Please do share with us. And contact us on 0659337172, or that's your WhatsApp line, or you can call us on 0861010300. Let's see if Roger is on the line now. Roger, are you on the line?
I'm on the line. Thanks for having me on the show. I think the network had a little moment. It's getting clobbered by the load shedding.
Oh, man. Typical. Yeah. Before you even get to load shedding, we've discussed measures and different means of trying to save electricity. But even before we zoom into that, can you just maybe tell us about CBI Energy?
Okay. So the business is a new part of CBI. CBI is kind of a great success story that most South Africans don't know about. If you look in your distribution board or on your plugs, you'll probably see the CBI name. And it's a company that's been around for 70 years, and we actually export probably 65% of our product globally. Our big customers are in the US, telecoms in China, the railway companies. We export all over the world and have been doing so for a very long time, but focusing on electrical switchgear and circuit breakers, trip switches, that kind of thing. And then about two to three years ago, we were looking at the market and we realized that the world has changed, that electricity used to be an abundant resource, that it was relatively cheap, it was freely available, very reliable, and that was rapidly changing. We've now been facing load shedding for well more than a decade now, and the so resource of abundance is now become a resource of scarcity. So CBI Energy was created to build technology products that help you monitor and manage your energy better to make use of this increasingly scarce and increasingly expensive resource more efficiently.
Now, we hear of NERSA, and some of my listeners have never heard of that acronym, and it's the first time. And when they get to hear of this acronym, there's a hike in terms of the prices that we're paying for electricity. For someone who doesn't understand that acronym, who is NERSA and what is it that it regulates?
So it regulates energy, and that's a very broad bucket. So electricity is one of them, but it also regulates certain other energy types. And if you think fuel is energy, electricity is energy, there's kind of quite a wide variety of energy sources, but the one that is probably the most important is electricity, because in South Africa we've only got a single state-owned electricity utility, so we've only really got one source of national supply of electricity. So NERSA is meant to be there to regulate the pricing of electricity in the interests of the South African economy and the South African consumer. So they, every sort of year or every few years, they do a determination where they try to understand what the various pressures are on Eskom and on the economy, and they then allow Eskom to change its tariffs by a certain amount. And this is what they've just done a couple of days ago. So from being the regulator that nobody ever heard about to being the regulator that everybody is cursing has been a very quick change. But NERSA has existed for many, many decades. Mm. It's just it's never become common knowledge because for us electricity was just something that came out of the wall socket.
Indeed, and one would wonder as to what happened last year. We saw that we were spared from Eskom's proposed 32% tariff hike. And what made them to take that decision last year?
It's a difficult question to answer because there's often wheels upon wheels. So obviously NERSA is a regulator and they are independent of government, but at the same time they fall under sort of the auspices of the Department of Minerals and Energy Affairs, and so there's a certain amount of political pressure on them, as well as they are bound to regulate in the interests of the economy. So I guess what happened last year is the economy was really wobbling. COVID was very much a massive impact on the economy still, and the determination was probably made that the economy couldn't actually take another punch to the head. The economy now is probably a bit stronger. We probably through most of the worst of COVID, there's a small amount of growth. So the difficulty then is that Eskom badly needs to raise its revenues because of its enormous debt burden. At the same time, government is becoming more and more reluctant to pump more money into Eskom, so it's now become a bit of a rock and a hard place decision because somewhere somebody's got to pay. It'll either be through our taxes, which then feed back into the state funding of Eskom, or it comes directly from our pockets in the form of tariffs.
It is now 29 minutes after 7. You have my FM Adult Radio for the Young at Heart. In case you're wondering, I'm with Roger Hislop. We're looking at the financial implications of load shedding and how businesses maybe could help, maybe how he can assist businesses maybe to save and manage the energy consumption better. Maybe you might want to ask a question. Please do share and maybe a comment on 0659337172, or you can call us on 0861010300. Hopefully, as an expert, he can be able to assist in terms of the guide. Maybe you have a generator, maybe you have a solar power, or maybe you're thinking of just getting off the grid and go back to, you know, old conventional ways of starting fire and keeping your lights on. Make sure that you do call us.
Stream us live on www.vumafm.co. Ntanta Makanya on It's All About the Money.
Right now, one might be wondering as to what to do because you're struggling, you see that you're about to. Your costs are escalating as a business owner, and you are forced to review your expenditure versus to your revenue. What is it that one can do to try and save cost?
So there's an old rule in business: you can't manage what you can't measure. For many, many companies, every month they get a utility bill, and the costs were creeping up, but you'd kind of hold your nose, sign a check, and send it off. But we've reached a point where it's actually become an existential crisis for some businesses, especially those travel and tourism, basically anything involving lots of heating and cooling or lots of moving of machinery. So the hospitality industry is very much under threat. But this is now even going through to the standard office where your air conditioning, your geysers, your lighting, even your office equipment is now costing you so much money that it's now becoming a bit marginal whether you're a viable concern. So the first thing is you've got to understand what energy are you using, when are you using it, why are you using it, how are you using it. Because once you have some kind of idea around that, then you can start to do something. So the first thing to do is to put in managed meters. So that would be an electricity meter that transmit data to a server in the cloud every minute. Because then you can go, well, the electricity went up there. Okay, that's because the geyser went on. It dropped off there. Oh, it went back up there. Oh, that's because the server farm that had been offline has come back on, or whatever it might be. But now that you know what's using your power, you can then start to plan around that. So something that was interesting was a client of ours, they spend probably in the region of 120,000 rand a month on electricity, which is a typical number for medium to large business. And of that 120 grand, about 30,000 of it was something called a notified maximum demand penalty. And many companies have got no idea what this NMD penalty is.
It's the first time. It's the first time I'm hearing it too.
Well, so I'll share.
Please do.
It's very simple. Basically, when you sign your contract with your utility, especially if you're a business, you basically go, I will not use more than 150 kVA or kilowatts in more or less. And if you exceed that number in any 15-minute period in a month, then you get charged for every kilowatt over that number.
You're kidding me.
And that's basically because if you were given a 50 or 150 kilowatt transformer and you join 200 kilowatts, you're probably going to damage the transformer. So this is how the utilities kind of protect their network. So they penalize you for taking more than you agreed you would ever take. For lots of companies, they get hit with these NMD penalties every month, and they kind of go, shoo, I wonder what that is, because it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money,
but
yeah.
It's actually something you can manage. So if you've got load controllers, you would go, I've reached 145 kilowatts. Okay, I'll start to drop loads. I'll turn off geysers. I'll turn off some air conditioners. So you basically, you yourself, you do what you might call discretionary load shedding. You turn off stuff to make sure you never hit that penalty.
All right, and now, and also we've learned over, well, load shedding has been with us for a decade now, more than a decade, in fact. So we've also learned through hardship that it damages our equipment and our appliances. Is there a way that we can maybe avoid this?
Absolutely. So similarly, if you've got automated load management, so I've got it in my house, but I mean it applies to businesses just as well, is that the load controller, which it can be a smart plug or a smart isolator or a rail mount controller, you basically tell it to not restore power to that load for a minute or 2 minutes after the power comes back. So at least you can avoid the messy 10 or 20 seconds when the power comes back on where you might get spikes or surges or something like that. You also want to be able to disconnect stuff that you know that it's not connected when power might be kind of coming on and off. So the key here is basically around automated load management, that you decide how and when you want power to be applied to your load. And that like lets you do quite a lot of useful things. Some of it might be to protect your batteries. So if you're running on battery because the power's out, you want to disable ovens, geysers, and air conditioners, for example. Because you want your comm systems working, you don't want kind of hot water.
Sure.
So that's what automated load management is all about, is having power available for what's important to you.
How big are the devices that you're talking about that can assist us in trying to avoid all these challenges?
Well, there's a variety of different ones. The ones that we make at CBI Energy are what they call fit and form. So it's either it goes straight into the DB and it's a 26 millimeter wide standard distribution board sort of fit, or it's a smart plug. So you pull out the dumb plug and you stick in the smart plug, or it's an isolator form factor. So your geyser, your stove, they've always got isolators somewhere within arm's reach of that appliance. You take out the dumb isolator, you put in the smart isolator, it connects via Wi-Fi. There we go, job done. So it's really easy, quick, and pretty low cost.
You look, I'm trying to really portray it in my mind here. You're going to have to perhaps give us, a producer of these devices and test them for you, so that we can come back and share with our listeners if it really does really work. And as a manufacturer of these suppliers and of these devices, how do we then access you? And if one need to try and access those products.
Well, so CBI Energy is the easiest website to remember. It's cbi.energy.
CBI.energy.
Yeah, it's not the world's best website because we've been so busy building devices and building the software systems behind it. But you can find out about the managed smart metering and the energy management systems. And then on the pure metering side, the metering system it looks like a normal CDI meter, except this one connects to the internet. And you can get them either through your friendly electrical contractor or some of the major electrical distributors like Voltex, Stockholm. So what we're trying to do is to try to get them out to the market really quickly because our biggest worry is we can't actually meet the demand when people start to go, I need this and I need this now.
Yeah. Can I buy online? And you can also deliver. If you do, how long it takes to reach
you can't buy online, but that's because the devices, they actually need to be installed by a qualified electrician.
By a qualified electrician.
Yeah,
so there's
all the Occupational Health and Safety Act stuff. But that's because electricity can be dangerous. It's generally best to use an electrician because it's safer, and also that way you can ensure that the rest of your wiring plant is protected and that your sort of certificate of compliance and all those good things are intact.
Yep. Before I let you go, Roger, people have been, thinking and looking at other ways and means of energy. They also look at the solar powers. How much would you say for an average household of maybe five people, TV, stove, the usual, how much solar power would you say they would need in order for them to power themselves up, and how much budget they should have?
Well, it's an interesting question because there's a couple of loads which are massive in relation to everything else. So your stove or your oven is one. Now, a lot of people have changed to gas stoves at least because
yeah.
I think the gas stove manufacturers are laughing.
They're smiling.
Because at least that way you can make toast or you can make a cup of tea while you're sitting in the dark. But the oven, generally ovens are electric, and an oven will draw easily 3 to 4 kilowatts. Similarly, a geyser will draw typically 3 kilowatts.
Yeah.
Once you've parked those two, for those lucky enough to have swimming pool, that's probably 800 watts. Lighting these days, especially LED lighting, is a very small amount of energy. Your TV, that kind of thing, that's probably no more than a couple of hundred watts. So you could comfortably say that if you're not going to be running your geyser or your oven when you just basically need basic lights and your entertainment systems and so on, probably a 3 kilowatt system can
and 3 kilowatts
do the job. 5 kilowatts gives you a little bit more flexibility because that way you can be powering your larger appliances. Because don't forget, something like a kettle will draw 2 kilowatts. It will only draw for about 2 minutes, but instantaneous power is still 2 kilowatts. So 5 kilowatts gives you a bit of breathing space. You can have very little impact on your kind of lifestyle. The big thing though is that you need batteries as well.
Ruja, I've said bullseye to you. Thank you so much for your time. Unfortunately,
you're right out of time.
Yeah, well, I'm sure our producer will definitely invite you again because the subject that we are dealing with today is very sore for many. So hopefully we'll have more time. Thank you so much for your time, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right, KZN, thank you so much for that from.